ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ भद्रम् कर्णेभिश्रणयामदेवाः भद्रम् पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेमदेवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
It is read from the mantra number 9. Saiva sarvam
yadbhutam
yaccha bhavyam
sanatanam
jnatvatam
mrityumatyeti
नान्यः पन्था विमुक्तये. So this already we have seen the meaning of this mantra last class. This again reinforces one important fact. So नान्यः पन्था विमुक्तये. So विमुक्तिः. So मुक्तिः itself is enough. The itself means freedom. So vimuktihi, that prefix vi, freedom from limitation for good. Once you discover freedom, again there's no way of losing that freedom what you have accomplished. Why you cannot lose it? Anything you accomplish once, you can lose it only if it is something newly attained. Okay, here you are not accomplishing, it is accomplishment of already accomplished. Therefore, because it's as though accomplished, this moksha, this freedom which you discover, the sense of limit, freedom from the sense of being limited, which you discover as your own swarupam, is as though attained. It is not something newly attained, because what was distancing that from you, as though it was not, was ignorance. And now that ignorance is resolved, therefore it is as though newly attained. But really speaking, it is only accomplishing the already accomplished. Therefore, it is very, very swarupam. You are only taking ownership of what your nature is already. Therefore, there is no way of losing it. Therefore, he says, that's why the prefix vi, vimuktihi, freedom from limitation for good is what? Vimuktihi. What is the neuter gender word for this? Vimochanam. Therefore, vimuktaye, for this moksha, na anyaha pantha, there is no other way. Because here the doubt might come, why can't I say there are so many ways, so many paths, you know, to attain the goal. A goal is one, paths are many. But here he says, no other way. There's only one way. Many, then we can ask, what about the practice of pranayama? What about practice of yogasana? What about practice of meditation? What about practice, you know, this, the discipline of Parayanam, recitation of mantras, chanting of mantras. What about the performance of fire rituals? What about the performance of worship? Or going to the temples? Or what about, you know, all other things? What about Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam also? Okay, they're all sadhanani, isn't it? But it is the knowledge which rises as a result of constant, continuous, consistent contemplation upon its own swarupam. That knowledge alone is moksha. Then even Shravanam is what? Shravanam is only for and first resolving the very confusion, the very ignorance. And your intellectual obstacles in the form of doubts become resolved because of mananam. But this nididhyasanam will result in what? The doubt, this unforgettable ascertained vision. That vision itself is mokshaha. That is what, that's the only way. That is the, that means, that is the only means of moksha. It is knowledge is freedom. Vimuktaye jnanat anyaha pantha na vidyate. There is no other path. And anything else, anything and everything else you do is what? Is all for preparing your mind for jnanam. It's only for mental preparation. The condition of the mind required for jnanam. For that, you all other disciplines serve as means. It is why there are so many things one can do in order to prepare one's mind for jnanam. For mental purity, for mental steadiness, you can do so many things. You can be committed, you can live a life of dharma being committed to social service. You can live a life of dharma committed to your own duties. And you can do, you can seriously practice pranayama as a discipline. One can practice ashtanga asanas, all these ashtanga asanas. Now ashtanga yoga, all eightfold limbs of yoga. All eightfold disciplines are said to be yoga. Why? Because all of them can be practiced. All of them, the practice of all those things is only for mental preparation. That is why I even yesterday mentioned it. In Indian temples, the huge temples, if you go from outside, there are four entrances are there outside. Like Kalakku, Kadak Madavidi, Vadak Chitravidi, then Tirk Radavidi. We have big, huge temples, no? You can enter so that through four ways. We can come from that side, you can come from eastern direction, come from western direction, come from northern direction, you can enter into the temple. Which means for mental preparation, you have so many, you can do so many things. But when you enter into the temple, when you do the pradakshinam, circumambulation of the temple, and then you come around, when you go near the sanctum sanctorum, to enter into the sanctum sanctorum, only one entrance. Okay? So many ways for mental preparation, but for moksha, knowledge is the only means. Is it clear? That is why, that is what is made very clear. Na anyaha pantha vimuktaye. That is why this, through living a life of karma yoga, having become mentally pure and practicing meditation, having accomplished this focused attention, when a person as a disciplined, dispassionate person systematically goes through the shravanam, mananam and nididhyasanam, as a result of which one really discovers this moksha, such a person, that's what he said here, jnatva, he alone becomes free from fear of death. He attains immortality, because fear of death. There is no other freedom, there is no freedom other than becoming free from the fear of death. That is why here moksha is implied by the term mrityum atyeti. There is no moksha other than knowledge. You can say moksha is the only means for moksha, knowledge is the only means for moksha. You can say there is no moksha other than knowledge. Knowledge is freedom. That aham brahma asmi, that clear vision, aham purnaha, I itself am limitless reality, the consciousness which is of the nature of fullness, this clear vision is moksha. This alone is moksha, nothing else. That is why na anyaha pantha vimuktaye, which we have seen this already. Now we'll go to the next mantra. Again, sarva bhutastam atmanam, sarva bhutani chatmani,
sarva bhutani chatmani,
sampashyan brahma paramam,
sampashyan brahma paramam,
yati nanyena hetuna,
yati nanyena hetuna.
Again, paramam brahma yati. Yati means goes to, attains, reaches. And this person attains Brahma. Brahma means what? Brahma is the term which implies the reality. What is reality? The reality which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is of the reality is the consciousness which is of the nature of limitlessness, which is of the nature of fullness, which is of the nature of limitlessness means what? Which is free from all three possible limitations, which is time-wise limitless, which is spatially limitless, which is object-wise limitless, that limitless consciousness, which is of the nature of existence of the universe, which is manifest as the very existence of the universe, which is in the form of the existence of the universe, that consciousness, reality is what? Brahma. And there is nothing else which is more absolute, greater than that Brahma. Therefore, say paramam brahma. One paramam brahma yati means this here paramam brahma is object of attainment. One attains the absolute reality. One attains absolute reality means what? One can never attain the reality. Why? Already you are reality. How can you attain reality? Can wave ever attain, reach the water? Wave can never reach the water. Wave can never attain the water because wave is already water. Here, attainment of Brahman implies attainment of knowledge of Brahman. Brahma jnana praptihi is Brahma praptihi. Attainment of knowledge of reality is attainment of the reality. Isn't it? Therefore here, paramam brahma yati means attaining Brahman means what here? One becomes Brahman itself. One cannot become Brahman because one is already Brahman. So one discovering one's own sorupam being limitless reality, the consciousness, is what? Actually one becoming one with Brahman or becoming Brahman. And that becoming Brahman is what? Actually attaining the knowledge of Brahman. Therefore, paramam brahma yati. How does one attain? So paramam brahma yati, it also means what? Which means discovering the limitless reality Brahman as one's own swarupam is in fact discovering one's own self being free from limitations. There are two different things. Discovery of self being limitless reality consciousness is discovery of the self being free from limitations. Discovery of self being free from limitations is attainment of moksha. That is said here, Paramam Brahma Yati. How, so that is explained here. How do you say he has attained Paramam Brahma? What do you mean by saying one attains, one becomes one with Brahma, or one becomes Brahman? One attains moksha. What do you mean by that? So that's why he says in the beginning, Sarva Bhutastham Atmanam, Sarva Bhutanicha Atmani Sampashyan. That is, this mantra actually presents the vision of a Mahatma, a vision of a wise person, perspective of a wise person. How does an ignorant person can see? The person who cannot see very clearly sees the space being enclosed in every building. But the person who has clear vision can see what? He can see, my God, all that is here is only one space. In fact, only space, there's no second space. Space means only one space. But this space, you know, Sarva Bhutastham Atmanam, there you have to see. This space alone, what now actually, obtains, you know, in every part, in every building, this space alone, in fact, space seems to be, space is enclosed, seems to be enclosed by all these walls. It is the space which remains enclosed in all these buildings. What fills every building? What is that which fills every building? Every enclosure, every pot, every container, it is space. But really speaking, the space which seems to be enclosed by different enclosures, in fact, all these enclosures, the so-called walls themselves, stand in the very space. From the standpoint of the walls, the space seems to be enclosed. The space is appears to be inside the enclosures. Really speaking, in this space, every building stands. It looks, the water is enclosed in every wave. At the same time, in the water, the very Namarupa wave exists. It seems as though the water is in the ocean. But in fact, the very Namarupa, name and form ocean, has its existence in the water. Similarly here, this person who has very clearly understood the reality. What is that reality which is non-objectifiably, imperceptibly, non-negatably, always there, illumining the arriving, departing thoughts, illumining the arriving or changing states of mind, or experiencing the passing experiences. Always what is that? Because of the presence of which all the experience, different states of experience are possible. That reality is what actually, that is, no, sarva, that reality, the consciousness, alone is the swarupam of I. When you open your mouth and utter a word, I, whenever you say I, what is that I? It is a word which is an expression of the manifest thought. If there is no thought I in the mind, that there cannot be expression of I. If whatever you express through your through the mouth, in the form of a word, a shabda, vritti reva shabda rupena bahiragachati, it is the thought which alone gets expressed in the form of a word. It gets expressed in the form of a word. I am, it gets explained from a word. I am am sitting, again another thought, isn't it? So this again is expression of a word. A word and many words, sentences, all of them are, all that we express, communicate are expressions of our thoughts. That's why we say we convey our ideas. We come through communication. How, isn't it? Only expression of thoughts. Even when you say, just take only I. It also, when you say it, it's expression of thought. That means that word is always preceded by a thought. Without a thought, a word alone just cannot come. Unless you mechanically blabber. Even in water, mechanically blabber also, without your knowledge, thoughts are there, those thoughts only come out. Understand? Mechanical blabbering also expression of thoughts only, but unconsciously expressed thoughts. Consciously expressed thought means you know what you're talking. Unconsciously means what? Mechanically expressed thoughts means you are somewhere, you're absent. So there can't be a word without the thought. Therefore, what is that? What is the substance of that substantive, the word I? Is it? So substance or is the substantive I thought, isn't it? Is actually consciousness. Nothing but consciousness. If you remove consciousness, that I thought will be not there. There is no sense, there is no knowledge I am. There is no knowledge I am. There is no knowledge I. Minus consciousness, no knowledge I. Therefore, it is the content, the substance, the truth, the swarupam of I is consciousness. And what is consciousness? Limitless reality. Which is the existence of the entire cosmos. Therefore, implied by the term Brahman. So the consciousness, which is the existence of the universe, implied by the term Atma, and also as the existence of the universe implied by the term Brahman, is what? One and the same. They're not two different things. And that reality, I itself am Brahman. The limitless reality, consciousness. One who sees this very clearly and he sees, my God, there's no second reality. I am consciousness, am the what? I see myself in everything. Sarva bhutastam atmanam pashyati. He sees the self being consciousness and he sees that consciousness, the self, the consciousness being the self of all the beings. Truth of everything here. Understand? It's not that physically you can't go and see. Like, am I here? You can't go and see through physical eyes. But it is you appreciate. It's a cognitive appreciation of the truth of oneself being the truth of all the beings, truth of everything. It's called sandarshanam. What is the noun form? Sandarshanam is the noun form. And here the present participle is used here. Sampashyan means seeing. Pashyan means simply seeing, looking at. Sampashyan means clearly seeing. Clearly seeing through what? Clearly understanding, cognitively, doubtlessly appreciating this fact that the one's own swarupam, one's own self being consciousness, and one's own self, the consciousness being the self of all the beings and truth of everything. It's called what? No? Sandarshanam. Clear vision of the self being, self of everything. So sarva bhutastam, sarva bhuta means being. So sarva bhutastam atmanam sampashyati. He sees the self being the self of all the beings. not only that, now he sees all the beings in one's own self. You see the ocean, you see the water in all the waves, in entire ocean, and you see the ocean and full of waves being existent in water. Then sarva bhutastam atmanam sampashyati. Then sarva bhutani atmani sampashyati. You had to bring extra sentence. He sees all the beings in one's own self. He sees not all the beings, everything in the self. Which means what? This is what? Only then you are a limitless, you are of limitless, you are limitless person. It's called Vishwa. Understand now, you can see yourself as what? The whole. This is the widest vision of yourself. People talk about the wide vision, isn't it? Wider the vision and more accommodative, more understanding and more compassionate and then more. You say that. But here, this is the actual vision. Until this vision, there's no way of, you know, accommodating. There's not genuine accommodation. Here you see the everything in yourself and you see yourself in everything else. Atmanam sarvabhuteshu sarvabhutastam atmanam pashyati sampashyati and atmani sarvabhutani pashyati sampashyati. You see yourself in everything, you see everything in yourself. You see all the ornaments in the gold, all the varieties of ornaments in the gold, and you see gold alone appearing in the form of all the ornaments. You see wood in all the furnitures, but you see all the furnitures, you know, be nothing but wood. You see water in all the waves. You see, you understand all the waves be nothing but water. It's called Sarvatma Bhavaha. Sarvatma Bhavaha means, you know, seeing everything as only reality or one's own self. You don't say everything is Brahman. You say everything, all that is here is the self, myself. When you say all that is here is myself, it is all me. When you say for you, the meaning of the word I is not the body and not the mind, not the sense organs, not the pranas. It is pure consciousness, the limitless reality, the pure existence. Therefore, this sandarshanam, this is what having this vision, if you have the sampashyan, having this clear vision, mun paramam brahma yati, one accomplishes mokshaha, one becomes one with paramatma, which means he resolves the duality. Becomes one with Paramatma, one with Brahman means he becomes Brahman. What becomes one with Brahman means he resolves the division. He resolves the difference. All the differences he resolves here. What does it mean becoming Brahman? In fact, having the wrong notion, resolution of the wrong notion one has about oneself. The vision of the self being consciousness is becoming one with Brahman. Understand? What does it mean having the vision of non-duality? Having the wrong notion one has about resolution of the wrong notion one has about oneself. Through recognition of this oneself being consciousness is becoming one with Brahman, as though you become one with Brahman. Okay? So, in fact, Veda Drishti Nivrittihi Eva Abheda Drishti Praptihi. Resolution of difference through resolution of wrong notion is the attainment of the vision of non-duality. This is what is moksha. And we have to understand one thing here. When you say, I see myself in all the beings, means you see the self being the innermost reality of everything, and which is called antaryamitvam. Seeing oneself being the self of everything is what? Antaryamitvam. And seeing everything in oneself is called what? Nothing in the world has independent existence outside of me, the consciousness, is what? Seeing oneself as the very substratum existence of everything is called Adharatvam. It is a clear understanding of self being the innermost truth of everything is called Antaryamitvam. And seeing the self being the very existence, the substratum, Adhara of everything is called Adharatvam. And these two, Adharatvam and Antaryamitvam of the self, is revealed through these two statements. So, sarvabhutastam atmanam pashyati, that sampashyati, that statement reveals the antaryamitvam. And see, and atmani cha sarvabhutani sampashyati, that reveals what? That statement stands for adharatvam. That statement implies the adharatvam of the self. Understand? Adharatva means Atma enjoying the status of being the substratum. Antaryamitva means Atma enjoying the status of being the innermost reality, self. Na anyena hetuna. Anyena hetuna, again same thing. Na anyapantha vimuktaye, that is repeated here again by saying anyena hetuna na paramam brahma yati. There is no other way of attaining Brahman other than the attainment of knowledge of Brahman. So, attainment of knowledge of Brahman is attainment of Brahman, becoming one with Brahman. Isn't it? There's no other way of attainment of Brahman. Which means there's no other way of attaining God. What about bhakti? Can I attain the feet of the lotus feet of the Lord through devotion? People come and ask these questions. You can, in fact, that's a symbolic expression. Attainment of the lotus feet of the Lord through devotion is only a symbolic expression of the fact that you have to attain the Lord only through understanding who the Lord is. That is implied by the very name Govindaha. Swamiji likes that word, but that's why he always sings that bhajan. Govindaha. Means that itself means what? The Lord is the one who is to be attained through knowledge. That very word negates attainment of Lord through anything else. Which means, what about all other sadhanani are useless or what? Karma yoga is a sadhanam. Upasana, meditation, is a sadhanam. And there again, practice of japaha is a sadhanam. Worship is a sadhanam. Fervent, intense prayer is a sadhanam. Practice of, any pranayama is a sadhanam. There are so many sadhanani, so many disciplines. Are they all useless then? Is karma yoga useless? Is performance of ritual useless? No. We should never ever say all those sadhanani are useless. And which sadhanam serves as a sadhanam for which end? That must be very clear. Mokshaya, for accomplishing the ultimate absolute end, accomplishing which everything else becomes as well accomplished as it were, accomplishing which you need not accomplish anything at all, that end is what? Moksha is accomplishable only through knowledge. Knowledge is mokshaha. But all other sadhanani, they're all important, they are useful, they contribute for preparing your mind for knowledge. Which is, therefore, they're all indirect means of mokshaha. Understand? We should know, what should I make use of it for? That is why, okay, let me do Shravanam, then I will live a life of Karma Yoga. Or let me practice contemplation first, then I do Shravanam, or I live a life of Karma Yoga. No, or let me really do Japam first. It's not possible, isn't it? When you do something, you have to do everything which should be done first, which should be done later, and why it is prescribed first, why it is prescribed later, these things we should understand. To understand this, we need sampradaya with teacher. Understand? You need to study the shastram systematically. Okay, only then you will understand the usefulness of all the disciplines, the importance, the necessity of all the disciplines enjoined. At the same time, you will know the limitations of all of them, and you will know how long they are needed, how long you should be following them, and where you have to, and they all should result in what. Everything will become very clear. That is why you need Shastra study. You should not study by yourself, you study the Shastra with the help of the teacher. It's very important. Isn't it? Otherwise, it'd be like get up in the morning, go straight to the kitchen, eat a lot of food, and then go slowly brush your teeth. Because some business, because they think cleaning their stomach, dirt make dirty your mouth, then you go and brush. Then you brush. Then you have shower. Okay? No, first do the puja afterwards. Eat, then we'll go and do the puja and do japam. Then go and have shower. How is it? It's not proper. It sounds, you understand how it is not proper. Same way. The sadhanani, the value, the necessity, the importance, the relevance of all the means, all the sadhanani should be understood correctly, and the ends to be accomplished by those sadhanani should be very clear, and how they all contribute ultimately for preparing your mind. Because preparation of mind for knowledge alone involves great difficulty. Advaitic vision is very easy. Knowledge, accomplishment of knowledge and moksha, knowledge is very, very easy. But preparing your mind for knowledge alone involves difficulty. Understand? Therefore, so many sadhanani. Once you have prepared your mind, all that you need is shravanam, and shravanam will be effective. Shravanam will resolve your ignorance, help you to resolve your ignorance. Mananam will help you resolve your intellectual obstacle in the form of doubts. And Nididhyasanam will help you resolve your emotional obstacles in the form of the habitual errors. Then you have clear vision. Therefore, it is the knowledge, it is the sandarshanam. He puts the verb here, sampashyati, and we should take it as sandarshanam. It is the clear vision of the self being free from body, mind, sense complex, and the self being absolutely pure consciousness. And that consciousness being the self of everything. Consciousness alone is in everything, and everything is in consciousness. In the self, consciousness means self. You should use the word self. Then you are one with Brahman. This is moksha. This vision is moksha. No, there is no other means of attaining moksha. Na anyena hetuna. Paramam Brahmayanam. No attainment of Brahman only through knowledge, not through any other means. So with this, the 10th mantra is over. Now we'll enter into the 11th mantra. Atmanam Aranim Kritva.
Atmanam Aranim Kritva.
Pranavanchotararanim. Jnana Nirmathana Abhyasat.
Jnana Nirmathana Abhyasat.
Papam Dahati Panditah.
Papam Dahati Panditah.
See, for knowledge, one has to do self-enquiry. Self-enquiry means Atma Swarupa Vicharaha. Enquiry into the nature of the self. Enquiry into the nature of the self, otherwise called self-enquiry, is what Atma Swarupa Vicharaha or Atma Vicharaha. How can you do enquiry into the nature of the self? And some people may give you the idea. Just say, I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the sense organs. Then what should you do? Ask this question, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? This is what they think, Atma Vicharaha. This is not Atma Vicharaha. Atma Swarupa Vicharaha means Shastra Vishaya Vicharaha. Enquiry into the subject, enquiry into the subject matter of the scripture is enquiry into the nature of the self. Atma Swarupa Vicharaha means Shastra Vishaya Vicharaha. It's very important to know this. Why? Because your eyes cannot look into themselves. If the eyes have to look at themselves, look into themselves. Means what? Eyes have to look into themselves means you should have a mirror in front of you. Therefore, in order to look at the eyes, look into the eyes, you should look at the mirror. Is it clear? So, here, darpanasya, no, darpanasya, darshanam, darpanasya drishtihi, is in fact, you are not really looking into at the darpanam. You are looking into your eyes. Is it clear? Seeing, looking at the mirror is in fact looking at your eyes. Similarly, inquiry into the nature of the self means inquiry into the subject matter of the shastram. Shastra vishaya vicharaha. There's no way of looking at the shastri. Is it clear first?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this enquiry, this method, this enquiry, the importance of this enquiry, or the enquiry is presented here through an analogy. Enquiry is presented through an analogy in this mantra. Always enquiry is presented through analogies. Because I have not done any other Upanishad for you, I cannot quote the examples from other Upanishads. Otherwise, I can say in Mundaka Upanishad, in Katha Upanishad, in different Upanishads, there are many like analogies are presented. Through these analogies, the enquiry is presented. Enquiry, the self-enquiry being the enquiry into the subject matter of the shastram is presented through an analogy. And we'll come to the next note. Here, we take the fire. To understand this analogy, we have come to this. What has to happen finally for us? Self-enquiry should result in what? Jnanam. It should produce jnanam. Self-enquiry should contribute for the rising of knowledge. It should result in knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, here, and this knowledge which has to rise is likened to, here, compared to the fire. Always knowledge is compared to fire. Why? If you have to compare one thing with the other, there must be some similarities. Some similar features must be there. Isn't it? Otherwise you can't compare. So this comparison is what? Upamanam. See, manam means measuring. Upa means what? Something which is similar. You help other person arrive at something. But it's upamanam. Isn't it? Upamanam. And upameyam means that which is really compared to. What is comparable is upameyam. So, upamana, upameya. There must be, between them, there must be some similar feature. Somebody said that day, your face looked like a pumpkin in the temple. What does it mean? Your face looks like a pumpkin. I won't say who that person is, okay? Your face looks like, you look like a pumpkin. What does it mean? Really, it's not. It means the plump, bulged like a pumpkin. That is a similar feature. How it looks round, so that the face looks like, looks like a pumpkin. Some similar feature must be there. Suppose Shankaran all knows, in India, suppose all Tamil Indian people will know, if somebody is very, very thin like a stick, and then they'll call him drumstick. Now, why? Because not this person is not a drumstick. A similar feature. What is between the two, what is similar means, it is thin and tall. This person thin and tall, that feature they take and then they compare. Like here also, when jnanam is compared to fire, what is the similar feature? Why jnanam is compared to the fire here? Why it is compared, isn't it? So before that, I'll tell you. If jnanam is compared to fire, then ignorance is compared to darkness. Let us understand first, why ignorance is likened to darkness always. What is similar feature? See, darkness is of the nature of covering things which are existent. Darkness, does darkness covers the things which are existent. And things, understand, and things which are, even if darkness covers the objects, it's okay. Darkness covers the opaque things. It covers, it's okay, but what happens? The things which are covered become, even though they are existent, they become as though they are non-existent. In spite of being existent, they become as though non-existent, they're as good as non-existent. And when the object which is covered, which is as good as non-existent, does not become useful. One cannot enjoy the benefit of that object. Benefit of having that object. Is it the benefit? We lose the enjoyment of, we are deprived of the enjoyment of the benefit of that object. Is it clear? So when we come, suppose all dark here, and there is a sofa, there's a chair, because you don't know where to sit. Why? You don't see. Chairs are here, but you can't, chairs are covered in darkness. You can't see the, because chairs all covered. Because they are covered, even though so many chairs are here, you have to be standing. You can't sit. Why? Chair is as good as non-existent. Because it is as good as non-existent, it does not serve any purpose. You lose the benefit of having the chair in the house. You are deprived of enjoyment of that object. Is it clear? Similarly here, ignorance also covers. Ignorance covers what? Here ignorance covers here Atma. Ignorance covers the Atma. Ignorance covers the Atma. Therefore, what happens? Atma is, ignorance covers the reality. You see the whole jagat. It's like seeing the entire ocean, seeing all the waves jumping. You fail to see the water there. It's like you see the whole jagat, you miss Bhagavan, you miss the reality. Why? Ignorance is covering the reality. Ignorance is covering the Atma. Ignorance covers the Atma, therefore ignorance covers the truth of the whole cosmos, which is one and the same. So ignorance is likened to darkness. What is similarity? Covering. Veiling is the common feature. That covers, then what happens? Once Atma is, reality is as good as non-existent. Therefore, you are deprived of the benefit of now seeing the reality as reality. You are deprived of the benefit, enjoyment of yourself being the reality. Suppose, what are you deprived of? What all you miss? Shantihi, peace, you miss. What is Atma? Atma is Shantihi. Atma is fullness. Atma is happiness. You miss Shanti, you miss peace, you miss happiness. All these things we are deprived of. Is it clear? Therefore, if I tell you, this is what dark, this world, you miss. Now we come to this point. Knowledge is likened to a fire. What does the fire do? Fire is light. Fire is light. So fire means, fire stands for light here. So fire illumines. Fire illumines. Again, does fire need to do anything else extra? Fire is enough. Light is means illumines. That is the nature of the fire, isn't it? Nature of the light, illumines. It illumines means, it illumines and it destroys. In fact, it dispels darkness. Through illumination, it dispels darkness. Second, fire illumines, fire dispels darkness. When fire dispels darkness, what happened? The fire does not create, the light does not create, produce newly the existing things. The fire illumines, and fire through illumination, it dispels darkness. What happens? It brings the covered objects to light. Illumining objects means what? No, it brings the objects to light. So bringing objects to light should not be mistaken for creating the objects. So fire, understand, light does not create the objects are already existent. It only brings to light. By bringing them to light, what happens? It helps you enjoy the benefit of having those objects. Those objects. Is it clear? So say, what is, now knowledge also does the same thing. Knowledge removes ignorance, dispels ignorance, darkness of ignorance. The light of knowledge dispels the darkness of ignorance, and it brings to light, not by doing anything else. Just knowledge is means the here, the vastu become, vastu shines. Atma is not created, isn't it? Atma is there already. When Atma shines means fullness shines. Peace, absolute peace is shines. There is peace, there is happiness, there is fullness. Why? Atma is for you. Oh, wasn't Atma there before? Atma was, Atma is, Atma will ever be. But as long as it remains covered by darkness or ignorance, it is as good as non-existent for you. As long as it is non-existent for you, as so long there is no peace, there is the peace also as though not there. So it looks as though the light creates the object, isn't it? It's not creating. So knowledge really brings to light Atma, Atma Swarupam, the peace and happiness. Therefore, knowledge is what? This was discovery of what is. Now, why I said this? Now, you will not forget, I started my class with it. What is that? There is no way of inquiring into the nature of the self. There is no self-inquiry. Without the enquiry, there's no jnanam. And the self, there's no self-enquiry without enquiry into subject matter of the shastra. Understand? That is what is how the enquiry should be done. That is, enquiry is presented through an analogy here, and for which I have created, and here. And so how the fire is produced. The production of, there's a fire produced, isn't it? There's many ways of producing the fire for different purposes. But here, how the fire should be produced at the time of a performance of a Vedic ritual is taken as an example here. Suppose, you know, see, performance of fire ritual is a form of worship. No, we have this Agni Kundam, the fireplace, and where we have to first kindle the fire. Then after kindling the fire, when we have the fire is well kindled, then we are supposed to offer oblations into the fire. And in order to, the offering oblations into the fire is actually, is implied that it is symbolically revealed that it is offered to other natural phenomena, the devatas. Therefore, we have to have very well kindled fire before we offer oblations into the fire. And they also, a lot of mantras are recited and then to offer oblations. For even before setting the even fireplace, we have to chant mantras, we have to do everything clean, and then we have to, then before kindling the fire, and after, we have, this is how the fire ritual has to be performed. Because fire ritual is a form of, Vedic form of worship. Performance of fire ritual is a Vedic form of worship. And there, the fire produced to kindle the fire, you know, the sacrificial fire, is said to be a sacred fire, not ordinary fire. You put this, you know, what is the barbecue? That is not sacred fire, okay? No, that's how we produce fire. Don't think of production of fire anywhere else, okay? And Shastram prescribes only what? How the sacred fire is produced. What is sacred fire? The fire produced for, you know, performing a ritual. Vedic ritual. Vaidikam karma. And there you can't bring your cigarette and then, come on, bring it. Take it fire. You can't do that. With all reverence, with clean clothes, you know, praying to Bhagavan, praying to invoke the grace of devatas, chanting lot of mantras, keeping the mind clean, body clean, clean clothes clean, without touching everybody, you know, touching. First of all, we have to be very careful. You know? With all reverence, they start. And for which they use 2 logs of wood. That logs of wood are known as aranihi. I had to prepare so much to bring you to the mantra. Aranihi, aranihi means Jayashri Natla Nidila and the Idrika Kana and the one which in the Kalila Adrika Arika Kunukatla. Aranihi means as 2 small logs of wood. I'll show you. So one will be like a rod. This is a stone, but there should not be so much of space here. It must be very close. Okay? This must be very big rod. This will fill. Once I put the one will be like a rod, which is called Uttara Aranihi. Uttara Aranihi means this one. The one which is put on the top is called Uttara Aranihi. And then here, this lower Arani. Isn't it? Uttarani means upper log of wood, which is like a rod. And the other aranihi, this is an lower arani. Upper arani, lower aranihi. Arani means 2 logs of wood. Both pieces are wooden pieces. One is like a rod. It should fill the whole hole. Okay? And the lower one must have a here. Depression is a hole here like this. And when they fix it, you should be fixed. And they should really then start churning it. this the churn. Then when they churn tightly, and they say, and then they had to churn very carefully, lot reciting mantras, and the churning, keep on churning, the churning will then, that you can see suddenly the spark of fire coming out. The spark of fire comes out, you should protect it. It will go immediately, isn't it? The spark of fire comes, you have to protect it. And how should you protect? Bring something dry, like a coconut coir or something, and catch it. And that fire, they have to use it to kindle the fire. Understand? Uttara aranihi, and here we say, aranihi, uttara aranihi means what? Lower arani, upper arani. One should be like a rod, but it is very thin, okay? It's for a different purpose. Both wood. And then, it should be what? It should be dry. It should not be wet. You know, you can't get just some raw wood, you can't make. It must be dry. Only then when you touch, the spark comes out. This is how fire is produced before, in fact, we start performing any fire ritual. Nowadays, don't go and see our priests how they do. They take one camphor, they'll put it like this and they'll put it like this. Okay, then nobody goes for arani. It's very difficult, you know. You have to wait for so long to make it really test and then carefully catch it. That is real way of producing the fire in order to kindle the fire in the fire, the Agnikunda. Understand? So here it is said. And here, now, this is now likened to what? The rising of knowledge in the mind. So here, what is the lower aranihi? Suppose when you really churn this, like this, how should the lower aranihi be? Lower aranihi, as it moves like this, then it won't work. So it must be firm and fixed. The lower arani must be firm and fixed. It should not move. And this alone should move. Therefore, the lower arani is, the mind is, must be like a lower arani. Atmanam aranim kritva. Atma here means what? Mind. Making your mind, okay, keep your mind like a lower arani. How should, it means what? It should be firm and fixed. Lower arani should not be moving. Be firm and fixed. Your mind should be also what? Firm and fixed. Fixed in what? Fixed in, fixed to what? Fixed to this shastra. Subject matter of the shastram. Mind must be fixed subject matter of the shastram. Therefore, atmanam aranim kritva means making your mind like a lower arani. Atmanam aranim. Oh, I have to read the mantra first. Let me read the mantra. I haven't read. I introduced the mantra, then I haven't gone there. Okay. Atmanam aranim kritva.
Atmanam aranim kritva.
Pranavam chotararanim.
Pranavam chotararanim.
Jnana nirmathana bhyasat.
Jnana nirmathana bhyasat.
Papam dahati panditaha.
Papam dahati panditaha.
So, your mind is should be like the adho, na, the here we say this aranihi, lower aranihi. And what should be the uttara aranihi should be what? Vedantic statements. Okay, the Vedantic statements which reveal the fact, which reveal the oneness of reality, which reveal the non-duality of reality, which reveal the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. They're called Vedantic statements. வேதாந்த வாக்கியானி அண்ட் விச் யூ ஹாவ் அண்டர்ஸ்டுட் த்ரூ வாட் த்ரூ யூ ஹாவ் டன் த்ரூ தி சாஸ்திரா ஸ்டடி ஸ்ரவணம் ஹவு டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் வித் தி ஹெல்ப் ஆஃப் தி டீச்சர் வென் யூ அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் the statements of Vedanta, object matter of the Vedanta Shastram, what are you understanding? You're understanding your own Swarupam. You're understanding Paramatma, Bhagavan. You're understanding the truth of the universe. Understanding, you're really understanding the Lord. That is why study of the Shastram itself is said to be Jnana Yajnaha. When you conduct a class like this in the house, it is as good as performing many great rituals in the house. Because we are with what? We are with Bhagavan only. We are with the Lord. We are with the truth. We are with the reality. We are with the self. Therefore, here, Atmanam Aranim Kritva, Atma, first, in this mantra, the word Atma should not be mistaken for the self. Always the word Atma means self, and here the word Atma means the mind. Atmanam aranim kritva. Then pranavam cha uttara aranim. Uttara aranihi means the lower arani, which is the wooden, a rod like the log of wood. Uttara aranihi, Vedantic statements. So Vedantic teaching is implied by the term Pranavaha, Omkaraha. See, if you study the Vedanta Shastram, you understand the Pranavaha. You understand Omkaraha. You understand the meaning of the word Omkaraha. And once you understand the meaning of Pranava, and you understand the subject matter of the Shastram, you are inquiring into the meaning of the sound Om is in fact inquiry into the truth of the universe, the Lord, which is inquiry into the truth of yourself. Understand? Not only Pranava. Pranava here stands for all the Vedantic teaching. This entire Vedantic teaching is implied by one term, Pranavaha. Or you can say, all Vedantic statements which reveal the fact, which reveal the, very clearly reveal the oneness of the individual and the total. Which help you, really shed all the wrong notions. So all Vedantic, entire Vedantic teaching, clear systematic Vedantic teaching, and later on repeatedly having the focused reflection of what I've understood, it's all revealed. Shravanam and Mananam in general are implied by the term what now here? Pranava. So what here is all Vedantic teaching. That means the mind must be fixed with the teaching, fixed here, to the Vedanta Shastram, which means the Vedantic teaching is like the upper rod, okay? And what happens here? Upper arani, aranihi. Your pranavaha. So, the whole study will help you understand, there you also understand what? The meaning of the sound Om. And why it is, and what is Om here? Om is implied by the word Pranavaha. Pranavaha means what? Pranavaha is a sound, then a term which stands for Lord the Whole. Sound symbol of the Lord the Whole. In fact, if you take this word Pranavaha, you get this meaning. You know, if you remove the prefix Pra, You can get the dental nakara sound, navaha. Navaha means name. Navaha is equal to nama. Nama is equal to name. Every word is a name indicating a given object. Specs. It indicates only this one particular object. It cannot indicate many objects. It distinguishes this one particular object from everything else. Vyavartakam. Isn't it? The very word specs distinguishes this particular object from everything else. So a name, a common, a simple name is something which distinguishes the object indicated by that word from everything else. Isn't it? Or one word cannot indicate more than one object. Gokul. Only he is indicated, not anybody else here. But tell me one word which will stand for all the objects should be simultaneously indicated by one word. One word by which or which can indicate, which stands for all the objects, is a unique, special name. Therefore, an ordinary name is Navaha, and a unique name, one word which indicates, which stands for all the objects, is Pranavaha. You have to, when you say Pra, it must be what? Cerebral Nakara sound. Is it clear? Pranavaha. That is why Pranava. Don't go into details now. Just understand. So, once you, this inquiry into subject matter of the Shastram in the form of inquiry into the Vedantic statements, inquiry into the meaning of Pranavaha. How do you inquire? You do study on your own? No. With the help of the Sampradaya with the teacher. You folk understand now, which means Aranyam Krutva. Then Jnana Nirmathanam. Okay. Now you have fixed, mind is fixed with the Shastram. All the Vedantic statements stand for the Uttararanihi. Now you have to check Jnana Nirmathanam. Jnana Nirmathanam means what here? Jnanam here means enquiry. In this particular, you have to be very careful. The word Jnanam always you understand as knowledge. And in this mantra, the word Jnanam means enquiry, vicharaha. So Vedantic statements are represented by what? The Uttara Aranihi, the upper Aranihi, the rod. And now, Nirmathanam, Mathanam means churning. Nirmathanam means Nischayamathanam. Okay? Reconfirming what you have understood. Is it? Jnana means vichara. Jnana meva nirmathanam. Enquiry. The churning is, churning stands for enquiry. Is it clear? Churning stands for enquiry. So, jnana nirmathanam. Then when you enquiry into the Vedantic statements is what? Churning. And when you, and how many times should you churn? Abhyasat. Jnana nirmathana abhyasat means again and again and again and again. Practicing the enquiry into the Vedantic statements is what? Churning. When you churn, then what happens? Keep on churning. My God, how long should I study? How many tricks I should study? You know, and same old things I've been listening. Not feel bored. Keep on listening. And after really, you know, you churn for so long, and one small spark of fire will come. That is how knowledge rises. Small spark of fire. And if you really don't protect it, it will get put off. See, these people know all Upanishad, no? The Vaidika, they have to use only those examples. They were all people, all Vedic times, they were doing all sorts of rituals and things. They know only those things, so they use those examples. But still, but production of fire also seems difficult. It's not that it won't get that soon. The fire spark won't come that soon. That is why nowadays all local priests, they use camphors and they straight away use this matchbox. I'm happy as they don't use cigarette lights. You know, nowadays sometimes people use, even light the lamp, they bring cigarette lights. They don't use it for cigarettes, but they use it for lighting. But still, what it is used for generally, very thought makes it, why they use it here in puja room. We think that way. You know why I'm saying? Very difficult. One small spark of fire comes. Like that, and you have to protect it. How to protect it? You have to bring something very dry. That is not mentioned here. We have to supply. Something very dry, like cotton, dry cotton, not wet and damp cotton, okay? It should be dry cotton, a dry coconut coir, you know? You bring it very dry, always protect it. Like when you light, you protect it, no? Why? You get put off immediately. Therefore, you have to protect. Like this, you protect this fire of knowledge. Now, this fire also, which rises because of the constant continuous churning, you protect that fire, you know, to take something which is very dry and then get it, catch it. So the fire then becomes a big fire. Then use that fire, put it the fire into immediately into that fuel you have, keep it ready in the Egikonda, kindle it. Then becomes big, huge conflagration of fire. Then you put all sorts of ahutis in that. It's clear how to protect. Similarly here also, if that fire has to be preserved, then because of constant continuous churning of Shastra Vichara, the inquiry is the churning. Jnana Nirmatana Abhyasa you keep on doing and a slight spark of knowledge comes and that has to be protected. How can it protect? Be dry. What does it mean? Being dry means what? Be dry means don't have weakness for things. Being weak means being damp. Being a slave means being damp here, like being damp. So be dispassionate. A dispassionate, mature mind is like a dry coir of coconut. You touch, it catches fire like anything. Understand? It's not my story. What Upanishad says, I'm telling.
No cock and bull.
Yeah. Then catches. When then the spark of fire which has risen, the protection is very important. That is why I've been listening for so many years. I'm going to all these people. Still, the study is useless. Don't study, go for meditation. Why? No vairagyam. And by going to meditation is not going to help. People believe all these things. Why? It's easy. Because, discovering dispassion is something, the most important thing. Because which implies not that you should be frustrated and run away from everything. You can just be with everything, but you don't care for everything. Which means the life you have lived must have given you enough experience, must have helped you, to understand the limitations of everything, that nothing in the world can give you what you really seek. So that's why you need not have any hatred towards anything. Nor do you have to be dependent on anything. Isn't it? So we have to understand the very word dispassion. So it's very important. See, dispassion must be simultaneously maintained. You have to take care of it. Only then this fire of knowledge which rises with small spark of some click comes, it gets put off. People come and tell me, no, I was listening to Swamiji's meditation. It was so fantastic that I really got something. Then what happened afterwards? It will go. I'm not saying it should not go. It's not wrong, not sin or anything. Why? Because, again, how the dispassion one has to give equal importance to dispassion. That is why this Upanishad begins with Sakshat Sadhanam and, what is that? Sahakari Sadhanam. Shravanam Manana Nididhyasanam is Sakshat Sadhanam. But this Pathyam, that is dispassion, is what? In fact, Sahakari Sadhanam. Without which Shravanam Manana Nididhyasanam, that is Tyagena, Na Karmana, Na Praja, Tyagena. The Tyaga stands for what? Dispassion. Without which, this will not work. Isn't it? Therefore, here, the dispassion one has in the mind will serve as a dry gauze, which really, to protect that slightest spark of fire of knowledge into huge conflagration of fire, to get it into converted. Then, that huge conflagration of fire, when it is put into the Agni Kunda, it just bhasmasat kurute. Krishna uses this expression in the whole of Gita. You know, jnanagnihi bhasmasat kurute. The fire of knowledge reduces all your karmas into ashes. He says that everywhere he mentions that. The whole Gita, many places he mentions this. Comparing knowledge itself, he says, is agni, jnanagni. Jnanagnihi bhasmasat kurute arjuna. Which means, so here, this knowledge also, then what, here, a destruction is taken. This jnanagnihi does what? The fire really reduces the fuel into ashes in the Agni Kunda. Later on, the protected fire, well-kindled fire, which risen very as a spark. Okay, similar here also. This fire of knowledge, spark of knowledge, which is protected with dispassion, which means that is very important for you, then becomes what? Clear. Which means the dispassion is very important for you to be contemplative. In abhyasa becomes really, abhyasa, the continuous practice of constantly dwelling upon the doing the vichara, inquiry into the statements itself is like what? Churning, constant churning, really convert the spark of fire, you know, into a huge fire. How? Because of the support of dispassion. Similarly here also, then this fire of knowledge becomes what? The spark of knowledge and becomes a clear, huge, isn't it? Not huge means what? Not huge. Clear, unforgettable vision. And that fire of knowledge, reduces the ignorance into ashes. That's why Lord Shiva, the Manmatha desire, Manmatha goes to really confuse Lord Shiva's mind. And Shiva stands for knowledge. And the desire is what? Product of ignorance. Desire is product of ignorance. And he goes with his wife Rati attachment. Desire is personified as Manmatha. The churner of the mind is desire. And personified as Manmatha, the cupid. And his wife Rati goes, attachment goes with him. Now, desire attachment of husband and wife. They are always inseparably together. Therefore, they like it. Anything inseparably is in Vedic culture seen as husband and wife. Understand? That means husband and wife must be inseparable always. That is the idea. Anyway, so Manmatha. And the Lord Shiva is in meditation. And he really wants to disturb Lord Shiva. And he opens his jnana agni, jnana. the eye of knowledge. And when the knowledge says, desire gets reduced into ashes. You know that? My God, where is it? Manmatha got really reduced to ashes. This all, the whole thing they personify, they present through story. Knowledge is reduced, ignorance is reduced to ashes, ignorance is destroyed. Here, how fuel is, here fuel becomes reduced to ashes in the Agni Kunda. So this Jnana Agni reduces the ignorance into ashes. Not only ignorance, all the ignorance, whole family, battalion of ignorance family. Kura ignorance, battalion of ignorance family? Ignorance. Now, error in perception, first son. You know, then his children, errors children. Ajnanam goes along with ajnanam, ignorance, adhyasa, adhyaropa, then all erroneous notions, abhimana. Abhimana means wrong notions also. Then what happens? Then also along with what goes? Along with that abhimanam goes needs, desires. And when the desire goes, anger goes. Oh, let me go. Along with the anger, jealousy goes, hatred goes, anxiety goes, fear runs. Fear runs. Fear goes. All of them go. Come on, all of them become reduced to ashes. Okay? Oh, what about kartrutvam, doership, enjoyership? Goes. Doership goes. I sense has gone. Gone means what? You understand the truth. I sense is it? Then a doership goes, enjoyership goes, sense of possession goes, possessiveness goes. Therefore, what goes mainly? Punyam goes, papam goes, all the sanchita karmani become reduced to ashes, agami karmani become reduced to ashes, everything becomes reduced to ashes, all the karmas have gone. Understand? Don't ever think, you have to live. Exhaust all your vasanas, all your punya papas. One day you become pure and clean and you become free. No, you are ever free. You were already pure. You are purity. You were free from all punya papas before. You are free from punya papas even now. You will ever be free from punya papas. Understand? You are free from punya papas. Do you really become free from punya papa? No. What have you done? Just you have only resolved the wrong notion. And you just dropped the wrong notion you had about yourself. You have. But yourself is dropped. How? Just by resolving the ignorance. Is it clear? Therefore, this fire of knowledge, this spark of fire of knowledge, which rises as a result of the continuous churning of self-enquiry, or you can say enquiry into the Vedantics, meaning of Vedantic statements as unfolded by the teacher. When becomes protected with support of dispassion, becomes a clear vision, and that vision, that clear vision is what? Like a conflagration of fire. What happens? It burns. Dahati. Knowledge burns and reduces everything into nothing. Understand? தகதி. ஹூ பாபம் தகதி. ஹூ தகதி ஃபயர் தென் வாட் ஹேப்பன்ஸ் இஸ் பண்டிதா. The one who has that clear vision of knowledge, and he is, the knowledge is panda. Panda means knowledge, and panditaha means one who has knowledge, wise person. Panda means wisdom, and pandita is wise person. And Swamiji was saying, one day I heard him, in Tamil people always called pandaram. You know, that means Pandara means wise person. And then Andi Pandara means a sannyasi who is wise. Andi means, you know, just use, he wants nothing except wisdom. In fact, really speaking, any wise person, when he resolves his sense of, you know, possession, in the sense of my sense cannot be there when you resolve the I sense. Isn't it? And in wisdom, one has resolved his I sense and my sense. Andi, isn't it? Therefore, Andi, we use all these words, scold. Actually, they're all very high. Even to scold, we use very highly philosophical, meaningful words. Andi Panda, you don't know all those things. You're good, good boys and girls. See, all these people know. We scold using the nice words. And we use them as like a dull-witted person. And you use these words to mean somebody. You use really your voice. Use the expression of voice to say somebody that you are not wise. It's not right, isn't it? Anyway. So, panditaha, here, jnanam papam dahati, it's a different thing. So, panditaha papam dahati means what? The wise person burns all his punya papams. Just he uses the word papam. Punyam also is papam. Why? Anything which binds is papam. Isn't it? Not only papam. Not only the papam means results of wrong actions. Punyam means results of right actions. Punyam and papam both are said to be papam because both bind. To enjoy the, isn't it? Therefore, here we say, papam means panditaha dahati. See, jnanam dahati papam. And the one who has the panda, no? The wise person burns all his karmas. Means what? He becomes free from samsaraha. The life of transmigration. The bondage. So, this fire of knowledge destroys what? Samsara bandha. Bondage of karma. Bondage of karma bandha. Bondage of the life of transmigration. So, knowledge destroys ignorance. And the ignorance born problems. Here also, the darkness destroys ignorance. Sorry, light destroys darkness. Destroys means what? Removes, and ignorance caused problems. Similarly, jnanam destroys ignorance, and ignorance caused problems. When knowledge rises, knowledge does not really produce Atma, produce moksha. Knowledge does not produce moksha. Knowledge does not bring the happiness which was not there before. Newly it brings happiness to you. No. Happiness was already there. In what form? In the form of consciousness, in the form of fullness. What were you searching for? Happiness. Why was it not available? Was it not there? It was very much there. Where was it? It was covered. So what? Even the happiness was already there. As the sorup of nature of the consciousness, the self, it was covered. So you were deprived of owning it, taking ownership of it. Understand? When the knowledge removes the darkness of ignorance, And what you discover is happiness, fullness. Understand? Before it was as good as non-existent. Now as though knowledge has created happiness, produced happiness. There's no production of happiness, no creation of happiness, only discovery of happiness. And now once you discover it, and it serves, you can own it. You can take ownership of it. See here, Panditaha Dahati Papam. How Panditaha Papam Dahati? How does he burn all the punya papams, all the karma, sarva karmani, basmasat kurute? How does he destroy all his karmas? How to become free from the bondage of samsara? How? Abhyasat. Which abhyasa? What practice? What continuous practice? Constantly what is he doing? Jnana nirmathana abhyasat. What is jnanam here? Enquiry. Repeated churning is what? Churning of enquiry into the Vedantic statements and is unfolded by the teacher. So what is that important point which is not mentioned but which you have to supply is the spark of fire alone comes and which needs to be protected, preserved for it to get converted into a huge conflagration of fire which is capable of destroying, reducing all the fuel in the Agnikunda into ashes. Similarly, this effort of inquiry into the subject matter, the teaching, should result to be preserved the support of your dispassion, which will convert this vision into unforgettable, clear, doubt-free vision, and which will result in what? The destruction of, elimination of ignorance, and the ignorance caused samsara. Is it clear? Finished. So which word did you not understand here? So now, how that enquiry should be done? Isn't it? Next verse is what? 12th mantra, isn't it? See, the method of conducting the enquiry is presented in the next verse. So next verse will become how to, now only we use the analogy, isn't it? But method of conducting the enquiry, really how to understand the teaching through Shravanam and Mananam. How to really do vichara, enquiry into the teaching of the Shastram. How should it be done? That is said in the next mantra.